physician's assistant. The physician's assistant. So I pray, Lord God, to give me the words to say and also use wisdom at this moment in time. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. When we were talking a couple of weeks ago about, you know, basically dealing with everything, talking more so about getting the structure of our homes, things organized, because the devil comes to seek whom he may actually devour, to seek and destroy the child of God and the entire infrastructure around the child of God by robbing the child of God of their faith, messing with our children, our families, our relationships, our marriages. Once the devil gets into certain nooks and crannies, he begins to really break things down. And the part that's really baffling to me, I remember I said this many years ago at a conference back in 2001, I said the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was to get folk to believe that he does not exist. We have an enemy. That enemy is toothless in many regards because victory belongs to Jesus. However, albeit and notwithstanding, we sometimes, because of our actions and because of our faithlessness and sometimes disobedient, we take the jaws that have been taken from out of the enemy's mouth and put them right back in so that they can attack us. Decisions. Ungodly decisions without godly counsel. Now you know good and well you shouldn't be doing this or that. But sometimes we let our emotions get away with us. And so we talked last week about the worldview that God has given us, what a house is, the foundation, which is Christ. We should trust God and study the scriptures, apply the word, understand that we have a covering. Our pastors, our leaders are there to help us through the trying seasons and times. It's almost, if you ever watch, you know, like Roy Jones and Mike Tyson, you know, or even some of the other fights that have been out there with mixed martial artists, they have people in their corner. Very rarely will you ever see in professional boxing or any type of hand-to-hand combat type of sports where you'll just see the fighter out there and there's nobody in his corner. Typically, once you finish fighting, you go back and you retreat to your corner to sit down, because oftentimes the blows that you receive during the fight make you disoriented. Disoriented. You can gather yourself, but sometimes you get beat up. And so sometimes what God is trying to tell us is that we have put people in place in your corner as you're going through this world, whether it's a pastor, a teacher, a prophet, evangelist, or even a missionary to plant a church to help you stay on the right path, so as you're going through the fights in life, even when you win, that you won't let things go to your head. These firm foundations, these pieces to give you discernment, to teach you about protection from enemies, understanding that you have to take care of your home because it's like a garden. You can't just let weeds just grow up unabashed. If you've ever seen houses, I remember growing up in Jacksonville, and oftentimes you would see an elderly person's house, and they would just live. Maybe a spouse has passed away, and they're just living. They get fed, but then when you look at the outside of the house, weeds have grown everywhere. When they were younger, they kept up with things, but now their bodies have gotten older, they can no longer do the same thing. And sometimes we have people who are going through this life, and they just let things just happen around them without being involved. I used to think that a father being absent from the home, or even a mother being absent from the home, could be detrimental, but I also found out that you could be absent even though you're there all the time. Y'all ready? Welcome to Divine True Christian Center, where we love God and we also love people. I'm gonna love you. Love the hell out of you, I have to. So we talked about these things. We talked about the power that's necessary to run the entire house, and that's through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. So now as we move into this next phase, We talked about the structure that can put the child of God and his or her family, even if that family is a family of one, as a single person, in the right perspective. You have to be full of God so that you can recognize when the devil is coming your way. And so this is where we're going to start with the individual. Individual. Everybody in here has been single at some point in time in their life. And I do not want to neglect that specific fact even right now. If you're not married, you're single. Period. And if you're married, guess what? You is married. So we need to start with the individual. What do you mean by this, Pastor Martin? Well, some time ago, I saw a statistic that there are many people having trouble with not being able to move freely. I'm talking about during this pandemic, right? So much so that it's creating turbulence in many relationships, as well as having an impact on mental health, just not going anywhere. I talk to my sons about this all the time, especially my oldest son, and it's just astounding oftentimes when I have to hear these words, because I really don't have much advice, because we've never been through a pandemic before. Everybody that was alive during the pandemic is dead three times over. It happened in 1918. And so I don't have a blueprint as far as how to move forward in this. The only blueprint I have is the scriptures where God allowed for there to be a pandemic or a plague to come through. It was 10 plagues, and three of the first three plagues actually affected God's people and the Egyptians. And there was no escape from it. Because God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. He also allows for there to be no rain on the just as well as no rain on the unjust. But it's affecting people, not being able to go anywhere, not being able to move about as freely as you could. And you know what also it is, even with the mask, it feels like a free-range prison. Even if you had this entire building to yourself, you stayed in a 10,000 square foot home, if you could never go outside, you're still in a free-range prison. All the doors are locked. That's how it's been feeling. And the truth of the matter is, most people do not like being alone to see themselves or to deal with demons that they struggle with on a regular basis. The thorn in your side. The thing that God purposely gives you so that you can stay before him. Still, it's important to allow God to work on you and in you as an individual who then can have beneficial relationships not only with God, but also with others. We had a tough time during the first couple of years of our ministry to where we had people that would come to church and wouldn't talk to anybody. It was like the weirdest thing. I was like, why are you coming to church and won't talk to anybody and won't invite anybody? You there just for you? No. The evidence of the Holy Spirit is not just by speaking in tongues. It's the evidence of speaking and loving on other people. How you treat people, how you deal with people. That's what this kingdom business is all about. We're in the business of loving and helping God's people. Searching for the lost, rescuing them, restoring them. And even if we have strong ones that may be among us, they sometimes fall. And so we want to build them back up so they can keep on going to the glory of God. So we want you to have as an individual, and everybody in here is an individual. If you're in a relationship, guess what? You're still an individual. Still an individual. So individually, you need to have a good relationship with God. If you have a distorted relationship with God, you're going to have a lot of problems with people. And if you're a godly person, your relationship with God has to be absolutely intact, because then it will teach you not to hook up with ungodly people. You can be friends with everybody, but you can't be in covenant with everybody. There's a difference. There's a difference between friends and covenant. Friends is like, okay, I'm friendly with you, but we are going to agree to disagree in regards to the things of the faith. So I don't mind bringing you to the table, but we're not going to eat the same food. It's of the utmost importance. So first of all, when you're an individual, you have to make sure that you have a great relationship with God, an intact relationship with God. And then you got to surround yourself with godly people. And if you're around sinners that happen to be your friends, you have to be strong enough so that the sinfulness of them won't pull you in. If the sinfulness of other people are starting to pull you in, then you're not strong in the faith. And you definitely need to be around godly people. For the scripture says that we should not be unequally yoked. When you are unequally yoked, it's like somebody who's being strong and somebody who's being weak in the faith, or you being a Christian, the other person being a Muslim, y'all trying to march towards in the things of God. Either you're going to believe what the other person believes, or y'all, neither, both of y'all faking. And I understand when the scripture says that the husband is sanctified by the wife, but that there's a caveat to that. There's a caveat by that. Sanctified by the wife doesn't mean saved by the wife. Sanctified means that you're hearing sanctified words from her, such as, you come to church, join with me in Bible study. You need to move forward in the things of God. You're the man. You need to listen to what God says about the position of the man. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. That's sanctification. Don't act like that. Don't treat the children that way. Respond as you need to respond. Don't yell all the time. Jesus talked with people. He was firm with those that were full of pride, but in this particular case, just be more gentle, you know. My wife, she sanctifies me even right now, and I'm saved myself. So that's what the context of that scripture means. It doesn't mean that if you saved and he's not, that you ain't going to have no problems. You're going to have a whole bunch of problems. Whole bunch. When Billy Martin and I met, we were equally yoked. She was in sin and I was in sin. And then I got saved and she got saved. You see the difference there? So sometimes when you're in relationships, you get hooked up with people. The thing that you don't want to do is, as a saved person, hook up with an unsaved person. Or if both of y'all are unsaved in the very beginning, that's cool. And one of y'all gets saved, and the person who is saved has to sanctify the other. In other words, you have to pump the word into the other until God enters into their heart through the gospel. The individual, what we do independently. So what is this relationship with God that we got to have intact first? Well, we got to put God first. As an individual, as a solo person, whether you're in a relationship or not, you have to put God first. That's number one. If you don't put God first, then everything else is going to have problems. Do you like problems? My dad used to tease me, used to make me mad too. He said, are you a sadist? A sadomasochist? A person who enjoys pain? I'm not talking about 50 Shades of Grey pain. Oh, if you watch the movies too, we'll talk about that in just a minute as well. The devil comes in all types of manifestations. The only shade that you need is your husband or your wife. Covering, that is, not insults. So the first thing that you need to have is quiet. Only thing I hear is Leilani just eating snacks. But I'm glad, because that means you're listening. So you have to have a relationship with God. Let me move on quickly. You got to have put God first. That's a non-negotiable. When you put God first, you can recognize the devil better. When you don't put God first, then you're going to be attractive to flies. How come I'm always attracting these really weird, crazy, off-acting, lazy men and women and all these dolls? Well, oftentimes what's inside of you is a magnet to someone else, because y'all got the same thing going. Sometimes we put up standards that we can't even meet ourselves. Amen lights. Amen walls. So you got to put God first. That'll help you recognize things better. The second thing is, as an individual, is you need to know who you are. Sometimes as men and as women, I'm letting you on a little secret about men. We're not... don't always have very high emotional intelligence, especially when we're younger. Matter of fact, we hardly have any of it. There's a lot of more emotional challenges. In other words, we don't handle our emotions well. If we cheat on you, you can kind of deal with it and kind of roll with it. You might come back, but if it happens to us, we ain't speaking to you ever again. Three times over. It is what it is. But biblically speaking, there's a sensitivity that God has given women. They're sensitive to things in the spirit, both good and bad. Therefore, as the man, we should encourage the good and protect from the bad. We can't just be or put our heads in the dark. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, you have to understand that God is first, and then you have to know who you are. When you don't know who you are, anybody can tell you anything. Young people, as y'all starting getting older, get off them cotton picking phones. As you get older, you start getting to the areas where you start seeing girlfriends and boyfriends pop up the church and things like that, the first, the second, or third one, you know. I remember that happened to me when I was in church. I was dating this one particular young lady, and then I broke up with her, and I brought somebody else. And they was like, is this your friend, new friend? Oh, what happened to the last one? It'd be the old ones asking them little weird questions, too. What happened to the other one right in front of them? Because you know that they be knowing. Because you don't need to be moving around that fast, young man. Don't be moving around that fast. Here, take a peppermint. You have to know who you are. Two incomplete people coming together will be chaos. But you have to be as whole as possible, as possible. Now, when you're whole as an individual, when you get married, you still got a lot to learn because you have to learn how to be a married person. But you want to give the other individual something to work with in the meantime, between time. We can always say we want a great husband, but can you be a great wife? We could say that we want a great wife that does everything and everything and everything, but can you be a great husband? We can't be lazy either way. We have to take care of ourselves. So God says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, here's the blueprint. Then God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, meaning that you will have authority on this planet to make decisions, and you all are equals. I know what your dad did. I know what your mama did. But guess what, y'all? Guess what? When God originally created man and woman, they were created equals, not to dominate over each other. Only reason why we have the hierarchy that we have today is because of sin. That's it. Because of sin. But God originally, what he wanted was that Adam and Eve both rule the world as equals, doing different things. But both of them have authority. That's what he really wanted. Psalms chapter 139, verse 13 through 14, lets us know that this relationship with God that we have as individuals is important. So we have to put him first, number one. Number two, we have to know who made us, and that was him. And you have to know what intent he originally had from the very beginning for y'all to dominate and rule. What I like, the trend that I like seeing today, and I see it a little bit more even among younger people, is that I've seen more and more young men starting to say, I want to hook up, not with just somebody who's an Instagram model. I want somebody that I can build with. And they use different types of words. Now, Lady Martin and I, we just say we want to have a family, we want to have a company, but they use different words today. We say, now we want to get this bag together, get this paper together. And we want to have something for our family. They look at Jay-Z and they look at Beyonce and they are mystified by that. They see these popular people. They see Gucci Mane and they see, what's the other girl? Keisha Kaur. And they're fascinated by that. So you mean you could be balling and be in a relationship together at the same time? And not cheat? Who does that? A lot of people, more than you think. They don't want all of the drama. Sometimes it happens. Most people don't want all the drama. They want somebody to build with. Another encouraging statistic that I saw out there is that a lot of young people are not trying to jump into bed with each other nowadays. Yeah, the pandemic is going on with COVID, but AIDS ain't gone nowhere. The STDs have not gone anywhere. And yeah, you can still get folk pregnant. So we have to be careful. We have to know who to put first, who made us, and why. Why did God make us? Well, Psalms 139, verse 13 to 14 says, for you formed my inward parts, talking about God here. You covered me in my mother's womb. But before you entered into your mother's womb, I knew you. That's what God was saying. And then David said in verse 14, I will praise you for, watch this, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. In other words, you have to have great self-esteem, or not self-esteem, great God esteem. You can have low self-esteem and have great God esteem. What do you mean by that, preacher? Let me tell you. Self-esteem is what you think about yourself. God esteem is what God knows about you. Have mercy, that was a word three times over. See, right now, you may not have, I think that I absolutely stink. Not a good guy, not a good female, not worthy, not at all. Last relationship just went down like burning lights. Crane just splashed and plashed. It didn't work out too good. That's how you feel about yourself. But the word says that God says that you are fearfully. That means that there's so many brilliant things about you that was just makes things just go on pause. And wonderfully made. It's moments like that that even if you have a significant other that's saying or treating you insignificantly, that you got to remember. But what did God say? But what did God say? I'm not talking about if it's the truth. Now, if you ain't doing what you're supposed to do, and God, you know, you can say I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, but if you ain't taking out the garbage for 3 weeks in a row, that's still not good. You're not taking care of your secret garden. Oh. So people are like, what do you talk about, secret garden? Just look up Barry White and never mind. Secret garden. You're supposed to take care of your surroundings. You can't just let stuff pile up and you just be like, oh, what happened? Oh, you wait until the house gets super funky first, then you move. Unbearable for you. Oh, you got a two draw limit. What do you mean two draw? Two pairs of underwear on the ground, that's your limit? I thought the limit's supposed to be zero. I'm teaching my boys that right now. I was like, y'all do not leave y'all clothes because I'm trying to groom them to be good husbands. I want grandchildren in the future if they choose. And I also don't want to be, my wife and I don't want her to be looking at my daughter-in-law sideways all the time. That ain't gonna last. That ain't gonna work out. Look at the way she talked to him. No. And I don't want them to be a headache for her. Man, she's so sweet. She works so hard. Yeah, she do everything for me, Daddy. I'm like, yep, she do everything. She cook, clean, she cook her cake, bake her candlestick maker. She's Proverbs 23 woman. She do everything. What you do at 25 years old with a stomach that goes all the way out here? You ain't do nothing? That's how I would interact with my son. So it has to be a symbiotic type of relationship. You got to know who you are. And then as you know who you are, then you'll be able to move forward. So let's break this out into categories. Let's talk up to the men first. Men, y'all in here? I hope so, because we're putting that banquet together on December 31st. We're going to see what y'all talking about at that moment in time. So what's the verse? What's our life verse as men? Well, there's plenty of them all throughout the text, but let's start off with one of them, and it's Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. And this is also for those of you that if you got hair on your lip a little bit, this is for you too. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. So that means that you don't need to be hanging around with a whole bunch of ratchet friends that's going to get you in trouble all the time. Then I got to come out, or somebody got to come and bond you out. So it is important who you hang around. And you can't be the yes man in the car. You know that song? Y'all remember that song a long time ago? It used to bother me. I used to hate it. But it was a song by Beyonce and them. She was like, I don't want no scrub. No, that was TLC. It says, I don't want no scrub. Come on, ladies, y'all know it. Go ahead and say it. So y'all know that song. That used to irritate me because I was the guy on the patches inside. Especially my freshman and year of college, my dad would let me. I had a car going into college, but then I was going 80 miles an hour on the way to St. Augustine, chasing after some girl that we didn't even go and do nothing with. I had to turn back around, go 80 miles an hour, 35 miles per hour. So I got a $500 ticket, and he took the car away from me. I was mad, and he gave it to my sister. I was mad at her, too. Had a Honda Accord back when Honda Accords were hot, boy. But God probably knew. I probably had whole bunch of girls pregnant if I had that thing. And he knew. And God took it away through my dad. I was mad at him. And the funny thing about it is that the guy who encouraged me to do that murdered somebody. Remember, like it was yesterday. Those are the type of people I hung around, by the way. He actually murdered somebody. He murdered somebody in the apartment complex that was right across the street from ours. We used to play over there all the time. And I was like, this is what happened to so-and-so? Really? And it was not too far, a couple of weeks after I went back to school. He killed somebody. I tried to look him up, trying to find him. I don't know if he's dead or alive. But he killed the person dead. That was the company that I had around me. And it kind of went on because I didn't know God. But what I'm talking about is a godly person. Who you hang around, young men, is extremely important. If you don't want to be caught up in being an accomplice, don't be in the car and not willing to just say, oh, I'll get a ride. You don't have to go, and you don't have to go everywhere with everybody. I was that one type of person. I was like, number one, I don't want to be the dude that's always just riding with you everywhere. And you go over to her house, and I'm just sitting out there like the third wheel. No. I'll be good. I'll find my own way. And they ain't even have no Uber back then. They just had a bus pass. That's it. Taxi? That's high class. Can't afford no taxi. Just had a bus pass. That was it. Or you stayed home, or you walked. And I walked a lot. Because I refused to get caught up in somebody else's mess. Nor stands in the way of sinners. You don't need to act like a sinner. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful or scoffer. Scoffers are people who reject instructions. These are stubborn hammer knockers. Men, one of the strongest things that we have to deal with is pride. Pride is refusal to do what God has told you to do. Oh, you just ain't gonna do nothing, huh? Because you want to have a little power in the house. But as I was talking to somebody the other day, there's two spirits that men and women struggle with. As for men, we struggle with the spirit of Ahab, or the spirit that was in Ahab, which is we want to be in charge, but we don't want to. We want to be the king, but we don't want to wear the crown. We want to be the king. We want to have all of the power and all the benefits, but we don't want to do kingly duties, making decisions, working hard, presiding. Presiding? What do you mean presiding over what? Children. We don't like to be bothered with them kids in many instances, but you got to take care of the kids. And I'm not just talking you babysitting. Babysitting. What do you mean babysitting? Babysitting is when you just watch them but won't even talk to them. Won't interact with them. They tearing up stuff. You just looking there. Oh, well, at least they ain't get hit by the iron in the head. You have to talk to them. That's how they develop their vocabulary. Because if you talk to them when they're young, then they'll respond to you when they get old, especially in them turbulent teenage years. It may be rough and tumble, but you still got to do it anyway. You have to be involved from the very beginning. So you can't be prideful. You can't be, well, my dad ain't do nothing. He just sat there with his dirty socks up on the coffee table and didn't say nothing. When he came home, that was it. The world stopped when daddy got home. The world can't stop when daddy gets home. You know, one of the most joyful things that I remember when I was coming home, I might have to make this into part three, I don't know. One of the most joyful things when I used to come home from working late is to hear the noise, Daddy! And then they get tackling me. And I want my sons to have those memories. They may not always remember them now, but they'll remember them as they get older. Or the crab. Jaden, you remember the crab? Yes, you remember the crab. That's when I take my fingers and I dig it into their rib cage. And they be screaming and hollering. And that's my way of interacting with them and wrestling with them. I did that when they were young. I used to do it so much so that my wife would be like, you're hurting them. Don't be doing that too much. But I would be running around with them around the house. And those stimulate great memories. It's like adrenaline that rushes through their body. And they have memories of dad in the very beginning. So that when they have trouble later on and they need a person to speak a word into their life, they'll remember those memories and they'll say, okay, he has authority to speak. And then the verse goes on to say, don't hang around people that are bad influences. You be the influencer. You don't need to be a Christian or what I would call a sheep in wolves' clothing. You trying to be a bad boy. But you know good and well you ain't hard like that. You know you're a lover and not a fighter. You know good and well you ain't hard like that. Listen to all the cuss word songs and all other stuff like that. And looking at all that stuff, no, you won't bust a grape. And if you busting the grape all the time, you don't need to be a fighter all the time. You need to be a lover. You have to balance things out. So the verse goes on to say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So a true godly man loves the scriptures, and the authority is the scriptures. We need to get away from, it's my opinion. I was talking with another guy today. He don't support the ministry. He just looks for preachers that he need to talk against. And I deleted his comment. I was like, you don't have any authority like that to speak to me like that. Just trying to go back and forth. I was like, man, you need to go to a church. You need a pastor, number one. I said what I said because God said it. That's different now than I said what I said and God didn't support it. What I say goes, does it? Do you have the authority or do you want to be the king without a crown? My wife and I, we like to watch Lord of the Rings like 5,000 times. We saw it another time. It helps us to go to sleep. And we watched The Return of the King. And in this scene in the movie, it was talking about when Gandalf and one of the little hobbits were coming to Minas Tirith. Minas Tirith is a place where it was called the City of Kings. And the real king passed away. The person that was sitting there was called the steward. The steward was just presiding over what the king really had, what the king really owed. So the steward didn't have any authority, but he was acting like he really did. But with Aragorn was actually the true king of the place. Come on, y'all calm down a little bit. Aragorn was actually really the king. And the thing about Aragorn is that he was in the field. He was fighting. He was willing to go out first. He was leading. He was in the trenches. He had his foot forward. He didn't shirk back. Whereas the guy who was a steward, you never saw him on the battlefield. He had no battle scars. And Aragorn actually had near-death experiences. And he was vetted. There was a particular scene when he was getting ready to fight against these undead people and all this other stuff like that. And it says, the person who wields this sword, only the true heir of Gondor will be able to move forward. And then he wielded up that sword because all fake people came up and they tore him up. But when he pulled up his sword, because he was the true king, the dead thing tried to get him and he couldn't get him. Couldn't even move forward. He was surprised. He had authority. And then when he showed up and he slayed the big beast. Big beasts are certain problems that happen in your household that seem like they're insurmountable. It seems like they look bad. Nobody can actually do anything. He slayed the beast because he had the right company around him. And then at the very end, there was a wedding. Hail Aragorn, king. The return of the king. Men, you could get your crown back if you want to. But you also have to understand the nature of your significant other. Because if you gave her the crown, it ain't gonna be hard to get it back. Or rather, it will be hard to get it back because she don't like to give it up either. Welcome to Divine Truth. We love God, love people. I'm not done with the men just yet. So it says his light, the light is in the law of the Lord. Or in the law of the Lord, and in that particular law, he meditates day and night. I try to search the scriptures to try to figure out if I'm doing things right or doing things wrong. And then number three says, he is like a tree planted by the rivers of, or by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. So, ladies, you know, it's good to have a man who's successful. But successful doesn't always mean monetary. It doesn't always mean that you have to have money because there's going to be seasons and times when the person will be employed and unemployed. The key is, does he have the ability to get wealth? Does he have the ability to put food on the table? Because he can look fine as wine, but if he don't want to work and he's lazy. As you get older, everything slows down, but your brain and your mouth does not. That's what helps keep money flowing. Everything else slows down. That's just a natural thing of life. And so you have to continue to move forward. Notice also the word says planet. That means you can't be all over the place. Well, today, honey, I got this new project I'm going to build from the ground up. well, tomorrow, honey, I'm going to go ahead and move on to this new project. But you don't even like waste management. Aren't you supposed to be in like sports management? Well, you know, waste management, sports management, it's the same thing. You gotta clean up people. You can clean up people months. No, you can't be all over the place. You have to be planning. You have to be the most stable person in the house. You are the anchor. Everything else can move around you. The wife and kids can move around. They could be flexible, all the other stuff like that. But guess who got to be stable? You do. You have to be stable. You can't just be stable in your job role. You have to be stable in your emotions. That's why I always wonder, who in the world wants to get married as a man? Why in the world would you want to get married in the first place? Especially knowing that it is full of responsibilities. And it's one of the toughest jobs. You got strength, but you got to be meek. You have to be able to provide, and then you got to die to yourself. You have a tremendous amount of responsibilities. You have to be the protector, the provider, and the teacher. And then when you can't, you have to be humble enough to say, babe, can you help me? Or I'm wrong, and you're right. How many men in here, don't raise your hand. How many men in here can say that I was wrong and you're right? It'd not be a painful experience. If it's painful for you to say I was wrong and you're right, pride. Can't be a prideful man. You'll tear up the entire house. And you have children that won't even come back to visit you. Female. Lady Martin, you don't have to come up on this one. But I learned some things from my wife. There's a blueprint. And I'm just going to use Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. Both of these particular verses could be goals. If you look at Proverbs 31, there's a lot that's in there. But we're talking about just the man as an individual and then the female as an individual. So the female as an individual in the scriptures, the man as an individual, Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. The female as an individual, Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. All the other stuff is going to be later. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 30 says, charm is deceitful. You know what charm is? Charm is another word for being charismatic. See, like the teenage young men, they realize it right now. When you see young ladies being able to have the long eyelashes that can actually 1 foot away, and they can fly. I think it's cute sometimes, you know, not too long. And they start wearing, you know, tight little jeans, trying to show their little booty and stuff like that. And walking by, hey, so-and-so, hey, so-and-so. That's charm. And then y'all go into y'all corner. Y'all won't talk to them because y'all don't talk to nobody except for your boys. You just go to a corner and be like, dog, she peeping you out. Hey. You be like, what's up? The charm is deceitful. Charisma is deceitful. And beauty is passing. Everybody in here going to look ugly one day. Because you're going to get old and you're going to die. But what is beautiful about a person outside of their looks? Because I know beautiful people that get divorces and break up, beat on their wives. Dr. Dre has billions and billions of dollars, and he's going through a divorce right now. Peter Preet's wife, Michael Jordan had a beautiful wife. Beautiful black woman. So money and success ain't it, is it? That's what I'm saying. When you get married, it's harder than just having money in your pocket. And then, ladies, you also can't be enablers because mister's bringing home all the money. That doesn't mean that you just let everything just happen. Oh, Lord, Lady Martin, getting tight up in here, boy. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, respects God, shall be praised. So that means that you have to put God in your life. He's the one who gives you your identity. And God being a father, guess what, y'all? You know what I found out? Ladies who have a good relationship with and healthy relationship with their fathers, oftentimes, not in every case, but most of the time, can pick good men. because they had a blueprint that they grew up with. The ones that have turbulence with men had a sorry example before them. Or the person wasn't well-rounded. Like, if you had a father that worked really hard but didn't do nothing else, 9 times out of 10, you're going to pick a man that works really hard and don't do nothing else. So even our choices have to be where they are. And young men in here, if you want your daughters to pick you and another body for the future, show her exactly all the full range of motions of what a man is supposed to be before her. Or else you'll have your daughters be with men because they have a check and do nothing else. Y'all all right in here? Only a couple more minutes, I'm just saying. That check ain't that good when there's no love there. Bills are paid, no love. But then there's certain eras that grew up hearing certain songs that ain't nothing going on but the rent. You gotta have a J-O-B in order for you to get with me. And during that era, as long as a man had a job and he was able to provide, you put up with the mess. At least the bills are paid. At least the kids got Jordans. At least you stop making excuse for terrible behavior. And then you get a divorce anyway, after the children are gone. Y'all all right? Y'all better be listening, because I'm trying to do the counseling right now. All right. So then let's talk about marriage. Only got a few more minutes left. So what have we learned so far? Man, got to be rooted and planted. You have to be rooted in the Word of God, especially when the storms come. The trees are the one who has to be firm. And trees, while they're rooted, also have to bear fruit. You can't just be stable without any production. The fruit is the gentle side of you. You could be strong and stoic, but then there has to be a gentle side as well. It's hard, but you got to do it because you want well-balanced children around you. Be the example. That doesn't mean that they're not going to make their own mistakes and not going to go their own way, but you want to be a good example before them so that they will be without excuse. I know it's heartbreaking when you have a well-balanced household and then you got children that go astray. I did. My parents were very good to us. My brother and my sister, we all made our own choices still. But we can't point back to say our daddy or our mama didn't do this or that. We have good examples. And oftentimes, watch this, we have to go through having a bad example before us. We want the bad boy or the bad girl first. Then, mama told you that he or she was crazy, but you had to find out on your own, huh? You had to be put on child support for 15, 16, 18 years to find out first, huh? Mm-hmm. Oh, she started tripping when you got married, then it got worse. Now you're going to court every other month. But mama said, that's not the one. But I love her. I love him. I want somebody that's tatted up, six-pack, that talk like Jerry Jackson, smooth lie. Not even married. But they got great books. How can a man give marriage advice and he's more feminine than the wife? His hips are wide, just like no chest and wide hips, soft around the hips. I was like, man, he don't never work. I could tell you don't work because you soft around the hips. Even if you're a big guy, you're supposed to be kind of hard around the hips, but you soft around the hips? That means you don't work very much. That means you don't, No, bro. See, if you hang around me, I'm gonna help you out quite a bit. But you pick no feminine man. Unless you're trying to live out a desire that you really want to have. Brother Ryan, I'm just gonna scroll right on up. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 through 25 in marriage. This is the blueprint, right? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep. How in the world did she talk about, bruh, what's up, bruh, more than you? Everybody just going to be hard in the house? Everybody? What's up? She walk around with boxes on, no shirt on. Just like you. What's up? What's up, But you made the choice. You chose that. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs, God did, and closed up the flesh in his place. And the rib, which was the Lord God, had taken from man, he made it to a woman. He brought her to the man. And Adam said, now this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called a woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. So, yep, I love y'all. But once you get married, you ain't staying here no more. Got her pregnant? Guess what? Biblically speaking, that's husband and wife. There was no marriage certificates back in the white. Now, marriage certificate, don't even go there because I already got the people be like, well, we don't need to get married. We just need to just say that we are. Nah, because if he or she dies, you're going to be left with nothing. No say-so. No presiding over funerals and nothing like that. Next of kin. So you'll be dealing with mama that didn't like you in the first place, talking to her son. Or daddy didn't want you to talk to her daughter in the first place. So you won't have any say-so, so let's put that argument to the side. That means you don't need a social security number. You don't need no money, because that's on paper, too. We just come up with stuff because we be on the internet too long. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep. So we talked about this. Let me go ahead and scoot on down. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So when we see this, we see that, you know, when you find the one, when God brings him or her to you. When you're not looking for them. Because I see thirsty males and thirsty females. It's just manifesting in I see women sliding in the DMs just like I see men sliding in the DMs. I see women on Facebook all the time with breasts is hanging all out, just looking posing and stuff like that. And they say, yeah, y'all need to stay out of my inbox. Now, how you going to have your boobs out and say, stay out of my inbox at the same time? Well, men needs to learn how to control themselves. Okay, but that's not how it goes, is it? That's not reality, is it? Men are attracted to that. So do you want to attract flies or do you want to attract honey or bees? Flies have eggs, lay eggs everywhere. And they're nasty. They go after dead things. But a bee is structured. They are organized. They love beautiful things too. But they always bless who they come in contact with. You ever see them make a fly make a flower bloom? Or when a fly lays eggs, the larvae come out and eat the flower. But when a bee goes to a flower, he makes the flower bloom because he pollinates it, actually makes it better. You attract both, but can you tell the difference between the two? If one takes away from you, that's a fly. If one gives to you, that's a bee. You want the bee movie. Y'all all right? Y'all good? Okay, you tuned in. So a man can't be all up on them. He can't be a mama's boy. Mama. Like the one example, I think Lady Martin kind of gave me this scenario. She gave me a scenario like, what happens if you're dating a man and he has a daughter prior to y'all getting married, and or rather, you're dating a man and y'all are married now, and the man has a good relationship with his mother, and the mother and the daughter come up both to the car at the same time. Who gets in the front seat? I'm being messy right now, I know. But who gets in the front seat for all the mama's boys? Is that it? Don't reveal yourself. Now, for me, because I'm rebellious, what I would do is I would see what you're going to do as the wife. because I'm going to stay out of it. I'm just going to reference. See, y'all just looking for the answer. I'm not going to give you the answer. But truthfully speaking, technically speaking, because the wife actually has a stronger relationship than mama when you get married. That's the right way. That's the right way. What you should do, fellas, if you want to get out of this real smooth, you talk to the wife and be like, well, babe, what you want to do? Do you want to sit up front or do you want to let mama sit up front? She'd be like, she could go ahead and sit up front and I sit in the back. Lady Martin, I was one of my tests with Lady Martin. Lady Martin will always allow for my mom to sit up there with me. Because she was like, yeah, that's your mother. And then my mom, she would do the opposite. She would say, let your wife sit with you. Y'all sit next to each other. I'll sit back here. Because they were both raised the right way. They were both willing to take and defer to the other. But the wife is the one who takes precedence once you get married, not mama. If you jump for your mama more than you do with your wife, are you married to your mama? You got this little Oedipus complex going on? It's an unholy thing. That's why men, even if you have sons dealing with their mother, you got to pry them apart after a while. Or else they'll have an unnatural, unhealthy relationship. Like a grown man sucking on the nipple. That's what a mama's boy looks like to me. So when they're young, you gotta pry them apart. Gently. Well, don't baby them all the time. You don't need to baby them, and you don't need to watch them all the time because if you're there all the time and you don't say anything, you're gonna have a monster on your hands a little bit later. And then they're going to be coming to you when they're in their 30s talking about, can we spend the night? Things ain't working right at the house. Because things weren't working right at the house. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 28. I'm on good time. Just about a few more minutes now. I'm almost done. Okay, I might have to make this another step. All right, part 3 then. I can't do this. Keep you all up there. So I'll end with this for today. We're going to do a part 3, Brother Jamar. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 28. And this is relationship dynamics, what this means. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Somebody stop listening when they heard the word submit. But people need to read things in context. Don't play just yet. Don't shout me down now, preacher. Don't shout me down. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, when you submit to God, what does that mean? Be willing. Well, amen, Google. Google giving me amens. Everybody else is being all distracted and stuff like that. But I'm trying to help you so we don't have to pay $999,000 for a divorce. Everybody don't just quit easily. I'm giving y'all gold nuggets. You could just act like you don't hear me if you want to. All right. Well, I've only been married for 20 years. Happily. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. There's a leadership process. And also, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Now, let's pause right there. How did Jesus treat the church? How Jesus treated the church is the same way that you should deal with your family. Jesus taught what people, Jesus didn't walk around and be like, just pointing and then didn't say nothing to give people miracles. No, he communicated. And you got to communicate, hey men, you got to communicate more than when you're angry and when you're having sex. A groan and a holler. Those can't be the only two times that you communicate. I'm not going to demonstrate that stuff for you. So how Jesus interacted with people, how did Jesus interact with people? He showed them compassion. He was a teacher. And even if you don't know anything, men, you got to be willing. Shoot, you'd be looking at pornography, studying that stuff in order to do stuff with your wife. Why can't you study other stuff? Did somebody turn the AC off in here? So you know how to study. Your homeboys, your dad taught you that stuff. If you really want to help a bleezer woman, look at these tapes. Look at these DVDs. Look at these cassettes. Remember my uncle told me some wild stuff, man? It blew my socks off. I was like, oh my God, I cannot unhear that. Half of the time, they don't be knowing what they talk about neither. The way that you find out stuff is that you got to talk to the person. And if they don't know, y'all study each other. That's the fun part. But you can't just be a great student of sex only. You got to be a student of other things. Because bodies will change. The time will change. And ladies, you got to be careful of your minds. When you submit, submission is not just in your actions, it's also in your thoughts too. Because if you say, watch, everybody pay attention, look at me in here. When you do things with your action, but your mind is depart, I hope you know, fellas, that ladies can do that. They can be like a robot. Come on here, Junior, get this done over with. And then they get fun, they get finished, and you're done. But their brain is on the other side of town. You have to be connected with your wives emotionally up here. Because women usually don't jump for a man and want to have sex with a man outside of their marriage unless it's through their mind first. That's why to women, emotional affairs are a dangerous thing, intimacy. And men, if you don't want any devils to get into that space, into her mind, you got to cut that. You got to cut it by getting into her mind and nourishing her mind as well. Stimulating those thoughts. Having conversation. Not just, yep. How'd you do today? Good. How's work? Fine. I'm tired. Next day. How's everything? Good? Fine? Work? It got to be more than just that. Nah, nah, nah. You supposed to be my wife now. Nah, nah. Come on here now. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So yes, men, we like to wander. But if we're anchored, we'll come home. So if we're physically gone all the time, there's something up. That's a red flag. A woman can be home, but her mind is everywhere else, then that's a red flag. Emotional affairs and physical affairs. Emotional affairs for the women, physical affairs for men. They could be damaging to a relationship. So I'm not sharing with nobody. And Lady Martin sure enough ain't sharing. At all. I'm scared of it. I ain't gonna even try. And as a man, I be seeing certain men on like her Facebook posts over and over again. And I usually don't say something. There's one guy named. Yeah. You be liking all of her posts, but I be trying to be cool with it though. But I'm gonna have a conversation with him when I see him in real life. I'm gonna say, hey, look. I know you football player and all of that, and you're a little bit taller than me, but I'm a football player too, and I got a great equalizer in my trunk. I don't like all that stuff like that. I just let you know that if I get a divorce from her, you're not first on the list. Yes, I'm territorial. I don't just let stuff happen. I'm securing my manhood now. Is she playing? Nah, I'm just letting you know this, Ophelia. Go ahead and stop playing the music. Yeah. We're going to put a part three. Part three. I'm going to have some other preachers come up, too, but in the new year, I'm going to talk about the rest of this stuff, all right? But Larry Martin will let you know that I'm very territorial. I just don't say nothing. I'm securing myself, too, so we should be playing about Morris Chestnut, and I'll be seeing y'all talk about that stuff like that. I just let it happen. I said, he's in the movies, but I'm real. I'm real life. That's it. So you could like all that other stuff, too. She liked to tease me, too. She's like, your girlfriend is Nia Long. I was like, no. You see, Ryan, you still single though, brother. But I be seeing that stuff, but I'm secure enough in myself to be like, why you always talk about him? I don't need to do that. I'm good. But what I don't like is people liking posts and all that. You just keep on liking, but then if I'm in the picture, you'd be like, there you go again. Y'all ain't divorced yet. I know we people be creeping on Lady Martin Page. I be knowing that. Frat brothers. You the main ones. I don't even want to bust them in their head. They try to talk to her. Father, thank you for this time. Let me finish these verses, Brother Al. Al, help me right now, brother. Just keep on playing. Play the savage beast out of my spirit right now. Husband loves your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing and the water of the word. So you need to know the word of God. You can't be a dummy. Verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle. In other words, you need to show grace or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives. See, what happens is that we hear verse 22, but ignore verse 28. You get verse 22 when verse 28 comes into fruition. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, when it comes to love, it has to be expressive. You can't be silent. It is an action word. Amen. Next time around, I'm going to be talking about honor and respect among parents and children and parenting. Ooh-wee. I also got something for teenagers, young adults, and also how to carry yourself if you are a seasoned kingdom citizen. All right. So we're done with that. I'm going to go ahead and pump the brakes with that. But when it comes to the kids, parents, the main thing that I need to tell y'all is this. Your children are not your friends. When you make your children your friends, they will have very little respect inside of your house. They're not built for that. They are your children. You have to discipline them. My favorite voice when it comes to this is that whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. So you can't let the children do whatever the hand fed they want to do. If you don't love them, don't do nothing. Now the kid will think you the coolest daddy or mama in the world if you let them do whatever they want to do, right? No. I don't want you to find out how wicked and cruel JoJo. Oh yeah, you're going to daddy right now. Get him. You see, that's discipline. That's a good thing. I want our young men to be disciplined, because guess what? When you have an undisciplined son or undisciplined daughter, guess what you're gonna have as a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law? Somebody that's gonna be beaten. You're gonna have a son-in-law that's gonna be beating her all upside her head. Or you're gonna have a daughter-in-law that's gonna be a gold digger, that's gonna be taking him for all his money. And he's going to be coming at the house like this, mama, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. But you said, follow your heart. No, you're not. Young man, she's an 8. I ain't going to say that. Some of y'all mamas just need to talk off the rip like that with these sons, because sons be acting like they don't even know what day it is. But then you are in court trying to get custody of the kids because the mama acting all crazy. Or you going to be a grandma at 40, 41. Discipline them. Take care of them. I'm going to talk more about that with the word as well. I'm trying to use a humorous example. We love our kids. But sometimes our kids are of the devil, too. So who's going to be the exorcist? Mama and daddy. And if you have a blended family, guess what? Joseph still was able to tell Jesus what to do. Because we have an epidemic, and this goes for men too. When you get married, they marry everybody, not just the individual, the children too. But if you don't want them to be touch the children and discipline them, then you're creating a monster. You're creating a spoiled monster. What's up? What's up? You ain't my mama. You ain't my daddy. biological parent got to take care of that stuff and put that in check early. Because the other person don't have to be there. Ooh, Lordy. They took you. Because you know how it is. Some of the single moms in here, I know, I'm attest to this. When I had my son before Lady Martin and I got together, I was like, ain't no lady's going to choose me with a child already. And I know it's doubly hard if you're a woman and you have a child already. So if you got a man or a woman that's willing to come into your life and handle all of that baggage, including a baby daddy, a baby mama, you got you a good one. There's a reason why y'all not together. The original ones that brought the child into the world, there's a reason why they're not together. Father, thank you for this time. Oh, Lordy. We love you, Lord God, and we bless you. We thank you for all your kindness, your mercy, and grace. We thank you, Lord God, for this moment of truth with humor, but also with some strong talk. But I thank you, Lord God, for this strong church, Heavenly Father. As we begin to move forward into this new year, let us move with the right mindset to get our houses in order. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Core people, we got 1 o'clock is when we'll do our session. It'll only be 30 minutes. We're going to be talking about how to get your life in order. And we're going to be doing time management and organizational skills. We're going to be talking back and forth about this. It's only going to take about 30 minutes, and then we'll be done with that. Gideon Circle, as far as the banquet, remember your positions. We got the DJ. We're waiting on the caterer. We're going to start working on getting the gift cards together probably next weekend or so. On the 20th, I'm going to try to have most of the gift cards for the balloons already and set up, put aside, and then Deacon Lewis and I, or anybody else who wants to come by the church on the 29th or the 30th to decorate, you could come at that moment in time so that we could go ahead and get started, all right? Okay. So all hearts and minds are clear. God bless you. God keep you. This is my prayer. Didn't I already pray? Yes, I did. I already prayed. So God bless you. God keep you. I know, even for those of you that are watching, that this is some strong talk, but coming from a man that has been through some bumps and bruises and made some really bad mistakes, had a child out of wedlock, was engaged to a woman while I was in college. I remember I bought her a ring. It was a cubic zirconia, and the stone fell out. And not too soon after that, we broke up. It was a shameful display. I looked at it. I was like, whoa. It was, watch this, fellas. It was my promise ring. I gave it a promise. I promised that I was going to waste your time for a few more months while still milking the cow anyway. Ladies, if you want to know what a promise ring is, that's exactly what it is. I promise I'm going to try to milk you for everything I got and then go ahead and talk to somebody else that you didn't even have on your radar. Don't let nobody waste your time. Y'all good? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you in 2021. Ain't nobody been dating because of COVID. But as soon as them vaccines, baby, I got my vaccine. You ready? Alice, it's hot out there in these streets. God bless you. God keep it. Come on, stand to your feet. We're done. We're done. We're done. We're done. Baby, what's your vaccine? Did you get Moderna or Pfizer? Or did you get something exotic from Africa instead? I do natural, baby. I do natural herbs. Look forward. Well, you got your mask on. You can say it now. Put your mask on first. Love God. Let's say the following. Love God. Love people. Be blessed, people of God. You have a great week. Do your Christmas shopping early. People are acting crazy out there. There is no social distancing out there during shopping, so wear your mask while you're out there, all right? Be blessed.